Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about time and how important it is to know what age we're living in, so we know what time impact there is involved in our relationship with God. Because He relates to us in times and seasons according to the different ages, we want to know what our options are. And what we're learning is that we're still in an overlap time, where really what we're looking for is to be able to know Him spirit to spirit, and yet it's still on the table that we can know Him according to the law, or humans can know Him according to the law. Now, because there's two kinds of people on the earth today, those that are dead in their spirit and those that are alive in their spirit. And those of us who are living spirits can know God according to spirit. And those who are dead in their spirit cannot. So those who are dead in their spirit still know God after the law. So the effect of the law is still there. It's a reality. But for you and I, who are spirit beings, we are no longer under the law. So what impact does that have on our lives? Well, one of the problems we have is that because we're in that transition time, so many of our beliefs are still according to what was in effect when we were dead spiritually. We still treat our own identities and how God sees us according to the law, according to the way it used to be before we were born again. And to overcome that misinformation takes work, takes energy, and takes change. Now, all that happens, just like anything else, change happens when we are present with the Lord, when we are spending time with Him. It always comes back to spending time with God, knowing Him, being able to hear His voice, test what we hear, and then learning how to act on it. If you are still, if you're born again, and therefore a living spirit being, and yet still trying to live according to the law, the result is going to be you're going to be double-minded, and you're going to be unstable, because you're going to be living as both, a spirit and a soulical being. Now, before you were born again, you didn't have any choice. You could not live as a spirit being because you are dead in your spirit. So we're those of us who are now born again, we are the ones who have the choice. Do we follow the law, the identity of our soul, or do we follow spirit, the identity of our spirit? The eternal life, the understanding of God, the entering the kingdom, being joint heirs with Christ, co-inheritors of everything that He has already inherited, being able to come boldly before his throne now, or are we constantly evaluating how we're doing? Are we trying to please God, bless him, bring honor to his name, do things or behave in certain ways or feel certain things or be a certain way that will please him in order to obtain his blessings or at least avoid his anger? Those are all solical or legal approaches to relationship. And honestly, you don't have to know God at all to have that concept. In any belief system, any religion, there's the idea that if you are living a bad life, there are going to be consequences. And why we get so upset when bad things happen to good people, because we have this idea that if you're a good person, good things should happen to you. Well, that's all because the law has been in charge of history or time for the past age. And now, those of us who are bringing in the spirit age, the eternal age, we are having to overcome the age of law in ourselves, in our own belief systems, through dependence on spirit. And we have not been this way before. Now, for 2,000 years, many have started the progress of achieving and attaining a full kingdom life, but no one has done it yet. And one of the problems that we find is, or challenges, is that each generation seems to have to start from scratch. Because the simplicity of devotion to Christ is lost generation to generation. And for one thing, it's having to come up against such an entrenched system of law, mentality of law, of good and evil, of balancing, of opposites, is so entrenched in our souls. For instance, we all have a soul, but we don't all have a living spirit. Every human being has a soul, a mind, will, and emotion, just as every living being has a body that houses that soul. But relatively few have a living spirit. The rest are all dead in their spirit. So we all have our bodies in common, so we can relate to one another in the physical realm. And we all have souls. A soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. So we can all relate to each other and pass historical information from generation to generation, from culture to culture, based on our soul, our mind, and will, and emotion. But we don't all have a living spirit. And those that do have a living spirit and who are learning to depend on God are mostly having to do so on their own. Because the goal is oneness. Spirit, soul, and body as on an individual basis before it can be in a group or a fellowship or community. And God is just as easily bringing a person into oneness on a desert island as in the middle of a huge congregation. In other words, God doesn't care about how many people we are communing with, even regarding these truths, because he still is working on us one by one. To that end, very often he will be working in one person, and say a whole congregation is seeking God in this particular way. Say it's a congregation of 100 people. God may be dealing with each single one of them a totally different way. So 100 different things are going on in the spiritual realm. Different wounds being healed, different truths pushing out those lies, different emphasis on how to live in the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. So that they don't join together before joining to God. So we, to understand that there's going to be, or accept at least, that there's going to be a level of aloneness in this process. And to not have an expectation of that, or confirmation that somebody else is going through the same thing, therefore it's validated. You're going to have to get your confidence from your own walk with God, not because there's others going with you. We have a tendency to think crowds, well, if we're all going in the wrong direction, it's okay because we're not the only one. But if the crowd goes off the side of a cliff, that doesn't do anybody any good. And if you know not to go over the side of the cliff and you go over anyway, you didn't learn what God wanted you to learn. You didn't achieve what God had for you. Now, we don't know what comes next after our existence here, and we don't know what came before. But I do know that what God has for us is well-pleasing to us. It's the goodness of God that draws us. And even our comprehension of good and evil is law-based. And the more we accept God on his terms and let him reveal himself, we start letting go of the concepts of good and evil and go back to, Lord, what am I to do with this? What are you teaching me? What in any given situation, rather than evaluating who's right and who's wrong, who's good and who's evil, accepting that God created it all, and it's for God's purpose, and he's in control of it all. And he created evil for the day of evil. He has a purpose for evil, and he created it. And that there was nothing sneaky going on that he didn't know about or didn't know about, or to test us or to tempt us. But this was all his purpose, so that we could know him the way he wants to be known, with understanding and appreciation, not out of ignorance. Adam and Eve knew God out of ignorance. They never didn't know him until God took the spirit from them. They had always knew each other after the Spirit. They always knew God, spirit to spirit, until he said, in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Their spirit died. And all of a sudden, they were evaluating on their own terms. Now, that doesn't mean that we neglect developing good judgment. But that judgment applies to the soul, the supernatural realm and the natural realm, not the spiritual realm. And we can, again, look at the typology of Jesus, what excellent judgment he had and the things he said and how he answered questions, those were from his soul. Those were not because he was the Son of God. His responses was because he had been with the Father, and so his soul, his mind and will and emotions were the conduit of God's love. That we, you and I, have that same opportunity and can have that same experience for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to become the conduit of God's love, God's very eternal life, flowing from him, his spirit, through our spirit, which have become one, through our soul, and into this existence. Now, what that looks like, we have, again, some ideas of the impact Jesus had, where it was said that he turned his world upside down. Now, for some of us, that's a pretty scary thing. But he counted it all worth it for the joy that was set before him. Being with us, we were the joy that was set before him, that he would bring many brothers to the Father, that he would be the first of many. So there is so much opportunity that God is in charge of. It doesn't depend on an anointing. And because this is in the Spirit, it does not depend on time. Once we enter into or receive eternal life and enter into that kingdom, which is in our middle, our midst, we are out of the authority of time, because time is not spiritual. It's a natural part. The sun rises and sets in the natural, not the supernatural and not the spiritual. So time has authority over the natural. Now we live from our mind, will, and emotions. Time is one of our boundaries that we choose to operate under. This is an area where we could say that time is part of the one of our enemies of this world system, that we measure how we're doing by how far along we are. Have we achieved what we should have achieved having become a certain age? So those are other things we want to be aware that the Lord may be putting his finger on. And I say the Lord may be, because we want to let him be picking the issue he wants to deal with us on. Again, it can be something that you're familiar with. He might be dealing with you about something that you've never heard anybody talk about. Yay, that's great. But we want to understand who we are as spirit beings is totally different than being a soulical being and being under the law. We are no longer under the law. And when we say we're under grace, what does that mean? That means we are a different kind of being. We are in God. Doesn't mean we are God. We are in him. Our soul still has a long way to go, and our body is so far behind, but it's following along. And it's all up to God to bring our body and our soul into alignment with our spirit. Now your spirit is one with God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We have been begotten, born again, but only our spirit. And we don't know how much God is going to accomplish on this earth in these human beings that he's created. We don't know if by the end of his plan for this earth, there are going to be people roaming around as gods, or there's a whole other existence where something else is going to take place. And that's part of our challenge, is we don't want to draw conclusions based on the information we have. In fact, we want to be careful not to do that. But we do want to understand where we are now. How do we know him? How do we cooperate with him and develop that trust? And one of the issues that always comes up is the fear of being deceived. Well, if God can't keep you from being deceived, what makes you think you can? If he can't teach you how to know him, what makes you think you can do it without him? Our only hope to have trust in him. Taste and see that he will do what he says. Try it. You've got nothing to lose. Challenge him. Lord, reveal yourself to me. You know what I need. I ask you now to give it to me. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to be changed by you. And Lord, I know whatever desire I have in you, in me right now, regarding that desire to know you, is from you. And that you don't tease us. Any desire to know you that has come from you, you will fulfill. So let him reveal himself in whatever situation you're in, and be patient with yourself. Don't give in to the pressure of the circumstances of this, of the times and the seasons. None of that has anything to do with spirit. None of what's going on in this world has anything to do with how we're doing in the spirit. And some really tragic things are going on in this world. But those things have come to pass. We can't come up with a theology based on circumstances. Instead, let's come up with a relationship born of experience. Know him, and all these other things will fall into place. All these questions, they may not be answered, but they won't be a stumbling block either. So, say you were put up for adoption at a very young age, and you were adopted by the Smith family. No one else knows that you're not a Smith, and you're raised as a Smith. You're treated as a Smith, and you think of yourself as a member of the Smith family. Then one day, you discover that you were actually born into the Jones family. Now, genetically, you've been a Jones all along, but you didn't know this. You believed you were a Smith. You acted like you were a member of the Smith family. So what you believed didn't line up with reality. Which was reality? The fact that you were a Jones or a Smith? Did discovering that you were really a Jones suddenly make you a Jones? No. You were a Jones all along, regardless of what you believed. Likewise, finding out and finally believing who and what we are in Christ doesn't make it true. It was true all along. Finding out and finally believing who and what you are in Christ doesn't make it true. You were in Him all along, whether you believed it, or knew about it. Because we are born into His family, we have all the benefits that go along with being a son of God. Not because we have faith in it, not because we believe it, because it's reality, it's true. If you have been born again, you are a son of God. You are a joint heir, a co-inheritor with Christ. Jesus is your big brother. Not because you believe it, not because you have figured it out, or even that God reveals it to you. It's because it's true. It's reality. It happened 2,000 years ago. Just because you're getting that understanding now, it still happened 2,000 years ago. So, if you are a believer, you are living in a new time zone. You are no longer living under the law in your spirit. And your soul is becoming free from that law in the soulical realm. But you now have a new way of living, of being, and having your being in the spirit, of living and walking and existing and thinking. And that's where our challenge is to learn to live and be a spirit being with the same soul and the same body that's being changed again, into one. As the Father and the Son are one, we are becoming one. One in ourselves and one in and with Him. This is all true, whether you believe it or not. Our battle is to believe it. Now, the behavior will follow. This is why as you spend more time with Him, He reveals not only Himself, but your identity. He starts to train you to think as His son, to share life as He does. Remember, what is His basic nature? To give. He can't not give. Now, giving is an expression of love. That's how, what it looks like. You know God loves because He gives. Now we receive, and we also are learning to give. So it's not about theology or doctrine, or right or wrong, or accomplishing something, and pleasing God, pleasing others, pleasing ourselves. It's about accepting His truth, His love, anything He wants to give us, unconditionally, and then giving it unconditionally, letting eternal life flow in us, to us, through us, and maybe not even knowing, because we are, our eyes are focused on Him, our beliefs are changing, and our behavior will follow. We don't have to worry about knowing everything the right way, having all the answers, having all understanding. We can allow ourselves to be where we're at any given time, and likewise allow others to be where they're at any given time. Because those of us who are spirit beings are no longer under time. So we'll pick it up here next week. If you've got any questions or comments, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.